Why don't you open up to John 17? Just the starting point's the problem. We have something to say to you. About 3 weeks ago, I received some instructions, but I received them unusually, which if you would ask me when was the exact moment you received them, I wouldn't be able to tell you hardly. But I can tell you exactly what I saw and what he told me during the period of time that he was giving them to me. Anyway, they're concerning the next realm and that he's calling me to walk in. And also to anybody that can hear it. It'll take years and years off getting the presence of God to manifest in its fullness in any service of any kind that you conduct for God. Whatever your calling is, doesn't matter. Of this, the calling of the believer, fivefold. Doesn't matter since the day he showed me this about a month ago. He hasn't quit visiting me with it. And I know he's going to keep on until I do the things necessary to complete it. And for you that's been hanging around since last February, you know that I've been caught in between something. I've been caught between realms, right in the middle, and trying to enter into the next one. But and so I get in a service like the one coming up pretty soon, or even this one. And the Holy Ghost began to move on me with the presence of God, and I'd end up just weeping. And I got finally where I could hold the line and not weep so hard that I couldn't finish conducting the service yet. It was at that time we found out that part of that anointing would go on to other people, and it's just like last Sunday. I know we blazed through here. I think the front was filled up a couple of times. I don't know, but the one I remember, that God just healing so strong, just healing, and one person after another, after another. But I've been trying to seek him to find out how to enter into the next realm, get through this one and into that one. And to my surprise, I've been telling you right along what I'd been doing. How he ordered me into worship, and how he ordered me into, not exactly ordered, but directed, led me, that's probably the best word. Since he doesn't push or drag. Holy Ghost come to guide you into all truth. What if I don't want to go? Then die powerless. Very simple option. Amen. And die without fulfilling his plan. Die without even finding it. So very, very strong. And for 21 days... it seemed like the devil knew something was up, so he battled me, just stood there and battled me like a crazy man. My emotions, my body, everything. Everything. And even at all of that, my body fought me back like crazy, my emotions. He just battled me like a crazy man, like there was something he didn't want me to find out. Well, it's too bad that I slipped past him. It's just too bad. Well, after the 21 or 22 days or so, I kind of lost track of time. That's when he come and he touched me with this scripture in this verse here. That I didn't even know what the touch was for a couple of months. And finally found in this John 17, this prayer he prayed for you and I began to understand. that him and us, us and them, Father sent me, Jesus said, they're in us. We've all been perfected in one, and that one we've been perfected in is Jesus Christ. Just like Adam went away and received our imperfection, Jesus went away and received us unto himself, and in him we were perfected. And all those statements we've been studying about his glory, my glory I give unto you, he said. We found out that was the standing he held with his Father. Right now, as a glorified human being, sitting at his right hand, head of the church. Well, all of that whole standing he had with his Father as the firstborn, he came and received you and I. My glory, this place I hold with my Father as his firstborn, this place I hold. He said, I go away and procure this same place for you, and I will come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, as a son of God, I'll receive you, and you may walk there also. Numerically, I don't know my rebirth. I don't know what number it was in the scheme of things. But I know when I get there, Jesus can tell me exactly what number I was since Adam to become a son of God. Whew. Be born again. Well, he said, my glory I give unto you. That's the standing he held with his Father as the firstborn. Difference between him and you is he's also deity. He's deity and he's humanity. You're just humanity. He's deity, he's humanity. You can't create a God. God has always been and he always will be. Jesus is deity and his humanity, and we are the part of one with him in his humanity. Hallelujah. But to understand this is when you're going to really mess things up around here. To understand it is you're really going to mess your city up. To understand it is to receive more of God than you can imagine. Well, in February, I didn't know the importance of that touch. All I knew was up to that point, once in a great while, and he'd be moving supernaturally one way or another. I'd enter into some what I'd just labeled intercession a little bit. I'd be taken out sometime and have the privilege of standing in the gap and enter into a little intercession. But never spent a solid 9 hours. The last six of them weeping so hard that I could hardly even stop long enough to catch my breath. Later, when I looked back, the nearest I could describe it was a child that you'd whip and tell him to dry the tears up. You say, dry it up now, right now. And they go, and they just couldn't. Well, you know, I kind of was thinking, what's wrong with me? Is this me? Is it me? I'd try to stop. And that's what I would get. Like a child trying to dry his tears up. I couldn't hardly stop. So I called for prayer. And I got Gary and I couldn't hardly talk to him. I tried to call home and couldn't hardly talk to them. I mean, I'd had to try to say something, I'd cry for a minute or so, and I'd try to say something again. Well, I found out that who touched me was my Father. Being a rogue kind of a explorer kind of guy, God arrested me. I'd made it to Oregon. I was heading for Alaska and beyond. I wanted to go where there wasn't people. He arrested me and turned me back around. sent me where there is people. Being that way concerning ministry, I said, God, I want all you have. You know, all the power and the glory. There's just one thing. I want it yesterday. So come to find out in who he is. At this point, he began to uncloak himself to me, what I understand now. That's the transition from God to God my Father. So from this realm on, from God my Father, he unpeeled himself to the thinness of an onion peel, you know, a peel so thin you could see light on the other side of it. That's not very much. That's all the information he'd give me about himself at one time as God the Father. Just that one moment, my first look at how much he really loves people caused that 9 hours of weekend receiving the gift of that belongs to the healing family that has been able to reach down and destroy lots of roots in people's lives and strongholds of. So now I know for sure that the gift of healings is plural because it covers much more than the physical anatomy. God wants to come in and heal. I mean, he wants the equivalent of a man's spirit jumping out of a wheelchair. He wants to be that strong towards us in waves of glory and power. Well, just that one look through his eyes, just for a minute, that compassion that he has, just that minute, caused a healing gift to begin to manifest to some strength. Crowds breaking down and bawling and weeping and a stillness and a healing taking place. And that was just from the first touch of his compassion and getting to see people through the Father's eyes just a little bit. Just a little bit. Couldn't hardly take it. And here I wanted all that God had yesterday and can't take just a 10-second look at him without messing me up for 6 months. See? Well, I found the verse. You know, I found the verse that he touched me with. This is John 17. Now he says, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. I in them, Father, you're in me, because you're in me, I'm in them, that we all might be made perfect in one. And again, who was the one we were made perfect in? Jesus Christ. Same way Adam made us imperfect in one. Jesus has come along now and gave us a standing. This made us perfect in him, in one. And because we're in him, we're also in the Father, and the Father's in him. And we're all made perfect in one. Well, here's the part now. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, that's me, as thou hast loved me. Now, can you imagine getting touched for a minute with the same love that he loved Jesus with? And touching you with that. Can you imagine possibly feeling the same love that he had for Jesus for a moment? Well, first thing it did is change forever the way I prayed for people. Mostly in the effectiveness I prayed with. Remember after getting back to the church after being in Cleveland for 6 weeks, and Brad, I guess she was having a genuine heart attack driving down the road. God healed him over the phone. You know, the effectiveness that I was able to pray with was because I got a good look through God's eyes. Hallelujah. Well, definitely something had happened looking at people through his eyes for a moment. You see, since that touch, I knew that he had done something, but I've been locked in between two realms, and I've been trying to get through this one into the next one, and I've mentioned that several times. And when I've been rendered useless, almost had to be taken out of a service. You have to understand that I'm used to ministering, you know, just line on line through, and the gifts coming, the service ending. I wasn't used to that kind of thing. So, when that effectiveness to pray for other people came, wasn't 3 or 4 months into it, I was in my office just praying, you know, waiting on God, kind of. And in my spirit, I began to hear crowd noises, and the next thing I knew, I could see myself with my hands up like this, and each hand was just stuffed full of requests. Stuffed full. And the crowd noises I heard was a bunch of excited people who had just had their prayers answered. So holding all these prayer requests up, I just naturally assumed all these excited people were people that we somehow prayed for from a distance, but they had actually received the answers to their requests. God started coming. So I definitely knew something was happening. At that time, he gave me the Mr. and Paul's aprons and all those kinds of things, avenues of compassion, that God was more able to follow that man's clothing from town to town and do miracles quicker than he could follow most men's physical presence, because the article of clothing linked him up with a compassion and a faith in God that caused them to be healed just from running into the man's clothing. Most people don't have that kind of power in their physical presence. They reduce God to following men's clothing. So I knew that God wanted to heal from a distance. And I knew that all the people that we ministered to by mail, that there was a place to collect those requests up and lay hold on God, that so many would receive their answers that it caused a roar of a crowd behind me of excited people crying. Well, something's happening. Well, what are we going to do with those kind of verses that says all things are possible to him that believeth? Again, it says, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Well, I finally got my marching orders. I think it started happening about a month ago, but it happened in parts. Something would pass through my spirit, and I'd try to collect myself together to understand what it was. When it got clear enough to articulate, I articulated some to Gary, some to Tim, and some of our boys out there that's walking hungry enough that they want to step into the presence of God and everything he has. You know? But what he ordered me into, again, let me rephrase, led. This time I'm worshiping God with my hands up. Just like I was standing there with all the needs in my hands at this time, my hands was like this. And I was standing in front of a large auditorium full of people. And the glory of God was moving so strong that they couldn't stand up. Miracles. A presence so strong you couldn't just walk into it and stand there. Everything was in the presence. I mean, people just really just walk in the place and start falling down. Glory was so strong. So I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this. I had my hands up. And that's when he said, "Now, this is what I want you to do." And he told me. Well, why would he show me that and then tell me what to do right after it? We didn't have to do with that kind of presence. What can get God to come like that? Mine is a calling. I'm supposed to stand up in front of people and help perfect them. That's the calling, mature them. Well, I don't know what else your calling is. But I do know that to every believer, that presence that I saw belongs to them. Only in the equipping of my calling, it took on slightly a different slant or manifestation. See? But he told me that I want you to go back. This is how I want you to spend your time in the closet now. And he gave me a specific amount of time again to enter into private worship. Not that I wouldn't pray in tongues and couple things together. Not that I do not speak the word. I'll pray in tongues and speak the word, but during this season, I'd pray in tongues going back and forth here and there, locked up for a couple extra hours. I can speak his word. At time I'll do it when I'm lost in worship. But he gave me a set amount of time to enter into private worship. Again. Now there's no use giving you the amount of time. Yours wouldn't be the same as mine. Besides, only you that's hungry is going to do this. And you're going to start with a certain amount. And it won't be what he gave me. Because I've been 29 years coming here. And I say to one man, go. He goes and comes. And they create this place for me and guard it where I can step into it. It's for 40 days. And 40 times a month, year after year, I delivered this gospel and preached and got on planes and overseas and back 30 years. He found me faithful in that. 30 years. Disease, sickness couldn't even stop me from walking in. Never missed a single service that I preached or was scheduled to preach because of sickness. 30 years. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I started for the meeting, I didn't think I was going to make it, but he always came. Sometimes I'd preach, and the moment I prayed to open the service, everything would lift off of me. But then when the service was over, it'd come back. I fought those kinds of wars. So now he's created this place for me, and I get to enter into it. He told me to worship him a certain amount of time. Well, the last time he said to do something like that, all kinds of fireworks began. The anointing of the believer, all kinds of things come, and finally, it manifested last February in God actually coming and touching my spirit with his love. Now, stay close. I finally understand. If I could make it. When you and I were born again, we were translated out of darkness in the kingdom of light, his dear son. We went from a nature, a sin nature, to a new nature. We didn't come into the kingdom of God automatically knowing everything. But we come into the kingdom of God with a capacity to be taught and a capacity to understand spiritual things, to literally discern spiritual things. We didn't know everything about God when we came in, but we did come in with the nature that could discern and understand everything that God could reveal to us about Himself. For years I had the revelation gift building me to this place, and I understood it, which is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is what finally put the worship limb on, the fasting limb on, every other limb that we're enjoying. It's bringing us to such a tremendous balance. And praying in tongues, bottom line, as we taught you so many times, is a revelation gift. In other words, a student doesn't automatically know what his professor knows. The knowledge has to be transferred from the professor to the student. Yet when you decide just to pray that one measly little hour a day in tongues, even going about your business is the day you walk into the classroom of the Holy Spirit, and the fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is none other than He who Jesus said He's come to guide you into all truth. He will receive a mind and show it unto you. Just that 1 hour in tongues a day. That fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach you what He knows. Because you have His nature, the nature of God born again, you can understand everything He wants to teach you. You can discern everything He wants to teach you. You can discern every move of the Spirit He wants you to understand. You can literally receive, discern, and understand the revelation of God as your Father, because when you were born again, you received this capacity to understand Him. Well, when you pray in tongues, then the revelation of all those things will come. And it comes time for you to appropriate what He's trying to teach you. Such as His glory, His power, His love. There comes a time He wants you to walk in, discern, and appropriate the things you're understanding, the things He's beginning to teach you.
Well, how do you know my spirit came in not knowing everything?
Oh, I've known people that's went to heaven, and after they got there, you know, you had to instruct them how to walk more accurately here because they didn't know how. He'd give them revelation knowledge of things that was in the Scripture to come back. Why didn't they automatically know it?
That's not the only reason you don't think that we know everything when we're born.
That's right. I wouldn't even preach it if I couldn't find it from His Word. But trust me when I say, when you were born again, you didn't come into the kingdom knowing everything in your spirit. But you did change nature, and you do have a capacity now to understand anything about God that the Holy Spirit is free to teach you. You can discern spiritual things. Go on over to 1 Corinthians. Second chapter, 11th verse. Put a marker in Romans 8 then. Hallelujah. Romans 8, the same verse as 1 Corinthians. Romans 8, when we get there, we'll be in the 15th verse. Now this is to the Corinthian church, and Paul was writing to the Jews in the Roman church. But here, he's saying exactly the same thing as the verse in Romans 8 as he's saying here. Only follow it closely. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said, well, what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And notice it's a lowercase s. making reference to the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And he's right. Notice what he's saying. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, the spirit that is of God, it's the uppercase, but it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a lowercase s, because he did not change the subject in this verse. He's still talking about your human spirit here in verse 11. And this is what he's saying. Well, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God can know no man, but the spirit of God, or but by the new nature and the born-again spirit that he received when he was born again. We always taught that was the Holy Spirit. Not so. When he said, what man knoweth the things of man, what he meant was spiritually dead man. What man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? He had no way of knowing anything outside of being spiritually dead. That's why Paul said, I had not known covetous, save that the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. I've not known lust, he said, as the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. Why? Because he's a spiritually dead man, confined to a spiritually dead nature, and had no way to know anything outside of that nature. So God told him to quit lusting through the commandment that said, thou shalt not covet. He said, I wouldn't even have known what lust was till God told me to stop. And of course, in Romans 7 gives the dilemma it put him into. The good I would do, I cannot. And the evil I refuse to do, I always end up doing. Therefore, it's no longer I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. Meaning, with his mind, he received the commandment of God. He tried to walk in it, but he couldn't, because there was a nature of sin in him that took him captive and caused him to sin time after time. Well, there's no way a spiritually dead man born that way can know anything outside of that nature, because a nature is what you are. It's what makes you what you are. So he said, no man can know anything outside of the things of man in that nature. He said, but now, the same way the man knew the things of death, he gets a new nature, and now he can understand the things of God, because it let him on the inside of God, say. Well, look now. Look at the next part of it. Verse 12. This is the same as Romans 8:15. Now, we received not the spirit of the world. Oh, we didn't, thank God. What spirit of the world is he talking about? We've not received the spirit of the world. Well, what did we receive? The spirit which is of God. And notice it used a lowercase s there, which was correct. Talking about the human spirit being born again. So he says, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. Little s. Not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Little s. And he got it right here. He's talking about this man got born again, that we might know the things that are what? What? Freely given to us. By God. How can we know those things now? Because we receive the new nature, or the spirit that is from God. So he said, we receive not the spirit that's of this world, but the spirit which is of God. What, you mean we have to have a verse to tell us if that was talking about the Holy Spirit, that it wasn't a devil? Well, he said, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. What did we have to have? A verse to tell us when we received the precious Holy Spirit that it wasn't a devil? When he said we received not the spirit of this world, not from God. That's the one the first man Adam gave you. We don't have that one anymore. But we receive the Spirit, the born again Spirit now. That's of God. Well, why did we receive it? So we now can know through that new nature, that can discern and understand the things of God, the things that's been freely given to us of God. I now have a capacity to understand those things. Well, he's saying the same thing in Romans 8:15. Exactly the same things. Notice, for we receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear. But in Corinthians he said, we receive not the spirit that's of this world.
Here he calls it the spirit of bondage again to fear. Well, then if we haven't received that one, well, what one did we receive? He said, we received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But notice here, even though it's exactly the same verse as in Corinthians, exactly the same thought that emitted from Paul when he wrote it down. One was to a Gentile church, the other one is to the Jewish community in Rome. Those Jews who had been born again. But notice he said, we receive not the spirit again to bondage, to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And everybody says, the spirit of adoption is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he has an uppercase S. He had a lowercase S in Corinthians, yet it's the same verse. Why does he call one the Holy Spirit and call the other one? Your human spirit. The spirit of adoption is not the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need to be adopted. We've received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, that one Adam gave us that couldn't keep the commandments of God. And every time God gave a commandment, it brought bondage and fear because we were spiritually dead and couldn't keep it. We've received not the spirit of bondage again to fear. This is the one we receive. We receive the born-again spirit that's been adopted by God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And he says, his spirit now, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're what? We're the sons of God. Then he goes on into our inheritance. If sons, then heirs of God, and if heirs, then joint heirs with Jesus. But he didn't say it that way in Corinthians. He just said that we can know all about the inheritance and everything that's freely given to us of God. But both of them are saying exactly the same thing. So I've been born again. Now I can understand all things that's freely been given to me by God. More than that, he sent me a teacher to teach my nature. The Holy Spirit. More than that, he brought a supernatural language to pray for me for the things that he wants me to understand and discern that's freely given to me by God. More than that, when I was born again, not only did I receive a capacity to discern spiritual things and understand spiritual things, not only how to discern, to operate in his power, not only to discern the gifts of the Spirit, the operations of them. But when I was born again, I also had certain attributes that my spirit also was born into and has a capacity to develop.
Could you tell me one of those things?
Yes, I can. You ever heard of the word ikapi? Yes, I can. When I was born again and received the nature of God, created in that nature, maybe in its infancy stages, but created in that nature, wanting to grow up, is also the nature of God, which is love. You can imprison that the same as you can. You're born again, new spirit, that can freely understand the things of God and put it in prison under false doctrines, and it'll never get strong enough even to conquer your soul and habits and things like that. Never.
Well, you mean that we have a capacity for the love of God?
Yes, sir. Because that capacity was born into us, created into us when God gave us his nature. I have a capacity. I have agape in my spirit that has a capacity to be developed. It is in there. Yet it can lie so dormant and never be developed that people will spend their whole life hating other people and strive, division, causing all kinds of trouble because never allow that attribute of their spirit to develop even enough to influence their walk in the love of God. What part of you did he touch? He reached down and touched the part of my spirit in its nature that has that agape and a capacity to grow. He touched my spirit, the part of me that could understand that love, agape, touched it. And that part of my spirit, he brought forth just a little bit, not a whole lot, because I couldn't take a whole lot right then, but just enough for a tangible presence, a fellowship with my Father to begin to develop. What do we call that tangible presence? We called it the anointing of the believer, did we not? To where you seemed to raise your hands and your Father would come into the room with you and fellowship. And everything that He was and is in that tangible presence. The fishermen on the Amazon and others, he worshiped God for 36 days straight. Well, for 6 months, he ate just enough to stay alive. Then at the last, he went 36 days and he worshiped God around the clock, day and night, for 36 days. And that rascal got caught up around the throne room of God where the creatures was worshiping God. And here, when I first started coming, he was listening to me. At this last time I went, I was listening to him, you know. Tell me more about this. We were stifled through a language barrier, but I was starting to catch on, you know. My God, what part of me does worship develop? What attribute do I possess in my spirit? And what capacity does my human spirit have, born again, that God wants to develop that warrants Him coming with His glory and tangible presence and do things for human beings beyond what we've ever seen before in His glory and His power? What makes you think that if your spirit developed to a whole gallon jug for the capacity to hold the love of God, that you wouldn't turn Him loose on massive auditoriums to mess them up in a royal style? Probably in everything you're doing. I said, you're telling me, Father, that the part of my spirit that worship, you continually fellowshipping with me hour after hour like that, that part of my spirit that develops is your agape. My capacity for your love. Everything you are towards humanity, all of that love, that attribute that became part of my nature can be developed. And you're telling me worship develops it? What was Jesus moved by when he healed all their infirmities? Compassion. Last part of compassion is passion. It was his passion. What would happen? It says, as he is, so are we in this world. For this reason, I can have great boldness in the day of judgment, because I know I can be as him in this world. I can hasten towards judgment. Listen to me. Years God's been trying to get something over to me about our life in heaven and our life here. He said, one of the things that it disrupts men the most is that fear that lingers on about stepping over. They're afraid to do this, they're afraid to do that, they're afraid of lack. He said, the perfect love casts out that kind of fear, because that kind of fear has torment. We don't look as stepping out of this body and stepping into the most glorious experience imaginable to mankind because of the barrier of the senses. That part. And if God had any trouble understanding anything about us, it would be of our fear of crossing that barrier. Therefore, we hold back in doing this, hold back in doing that. Stressful, situations that could. We're afraid to go here, afraid to go there, afraid of other lands, afraid of different things. Why? Because we're not able to approach that barrier that crosses us over with like, my God. That's just part of my life. This is the greatest thing that ever is. That's when everything really begins. And I have the opportunity to be found faithful now. There's something there that needs to be developed that people don't have much yet. The loss of that kind of fear. Well, as He is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. He that has torment hasn't been perfected in that love. Well, there is a perfecting He wants to do on that love. I could have never seen it had He not got me on the born again trail. Handed the worship key over to me in a golden platter. Cannot suspend my spirit in the presence of God hour after hour without developing the attribute of love. And the more He comes and fellowships in it, the stronger it becomes. The more tangible His presence becomes. In what? In your life. Hallelujah. When God ordered me into the closet, we really didn't know where we was walking. I was walking in a place with God where He'd come and go. And I'm talking about tangible presence. I was walking in a place with Him where He would come and go. And coming and going, mostly in a service. It was easy at first. Then God retreated back on the other side of the flesh where I was really walking. And at first, you know, He'd come and, yay, worship, worship. Yay. But then, this barrier of flesh between us, He just went back over there because that's where we really walked. Barrier of flesh. I kept worshiping. He'd come over and visit me a little bit. And He'd have to go back where I held Him. Worship a while and come back over. And have to go back where I was holding Him. And each time, month after month, going back wasn't so far away. All the books said I wasn't in the Spirit when I couldn't feel Him. Quite the contrary. The less you could feel meant the more flesh was in the way. Quite the contrary, my friend. All heaven, Michael, everybody, Gabriel, just cheering like crazy when God would retreat back the other side of the flesh and you wouldn't even lose a sentence of worship, although every antagonistic feeling of flesh, including you're wasting your time in here. My lawn grew an inch in an hour. I should have been mowing it. I could think of a million things I needed to do rather than just spend the time saying this over and over. All of heaven is just absolute, plus then the devil trying to get close enough to scream at you in your worship closet. You know, where's your faithful God? You're in there worshiping Him hour after hour, and there's some things that aren't happening. You've been believing for Him for some time, and they're not happening. And you're in there just telling Him how faithful He is, and the devil goes, no, and you just keep going. Just keep going. His heaven's rejoicing. God was receiving it even more, because now the flesh, the devil, and everything is stacked against your worship. You just won't stop. Let agape starts developing, see. I was thinking, well, he just came because he liked me so good and wanted to fellowship. But the love in me developed and developed and developed where it got big enough for him to walk in it all the time. As he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear, as fear has torment. And he that has torment has not been perfected in love. So now I know what to do. Hallelujah.
Well, how about word and praying in tongues and all that?
Do you think that he requires less of that from me just because he gave me another key? Hallelujah. Manca la sorte che se. Tornate con essa ci. Tomate le soli ci fimete. Alamoca de ci. Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, no wonder I could feel baptism of my senses. No wonder I could feel his presence with my sense man. In closing, near the end of that seeking time where the devil battled me for 21, 22 days, and then I wept, and then after that I stayed in there for a while longer. That's when I'd walk around and I had my hands up, and all of a sudden his glory or something came on me. My hands was up, and the power pushed me back to about a 45. I just leaning back there. I'm thinking, what is this? And so I'm thinking, then you're just weak. Your hands pulled you over. So I said, forgive me my folly. I put my hands down by my side and I said, I really love you. I worship you. And I just went right back to a 45 again. I mean, it was just pushing on me. I had to step back. And as I got the biggest kick at it, Gary's friend, truck driver, when he came, that he's sitting right over here, and I called him out, you know, I said, get out here. And so I stepped up to him to pray and raised my hands, and he just started going back like this. He got back quite a ways, and I said, what are you doing? He says, something's pushing on me. He said, something's pushing on me. And it was. You could see tangibly him being pushed back real hard. You know, can you imagine that you kind of lift your hands in the presence of a sinner? Just go, I love you, Father. You think they can't feel him come in? You think he won't do things for them? No uncertain terms he made me know when I understand his love more out of that attribute he gave me to understand it with, love. The more needs are going to be met because I'm going to understand his passions towards them. Bronking all of them. Hit that flesh and thought they were going to die. Bronk showed me his office. He did an agonizing hour after hour. Coughing up dry dust is how dry his worship was. Little puffs and powder like you put on your face. God said, I love you. Dry, felt like a mummy that had been unwrapped in an ancient tomb somewhere. But all of them stayed in. And the day he came, where they had never been walking before, you couldn't shut them up with a two before. Then he called me. I patiently listened to him because I've already been through him. Hallelujah. Now some of you are going to be wise enough to catch this. Amen. Whew. Well, stand thee up and raise your hand.